pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. You want to get in touch with the program, hit us up on that text line. We're happy to accommodate any questions, comments, complaints, compliments, or whatever it may be. Send them my way, 251-343-0106. Real quick, line up Stephanie Holden-Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute is going to be with us in about 30 minutes. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, we had to bump him back. But Dale Jackson, WVNN, and Yellowhammer News will be with us as well. So you'll make sure you stick around for that. But joining us now, he's on the road, en route to Escambia County, our good friend from the 1st Congressional District, also running for the newly drawn 1st Congressional District's Republican nomination for next year's election, Jerry Carl. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am great. Just beautiful weather. I told somebody today I'd like to be a farmer today. It'd be a good day to be out on a horse or a tractor doing anything outside.
Yeah, well, it's got that little kind of just right chill in the air, right? You know, where you where it feels like it does feel like what you kind of laid out there. But anyway, let's go ahead and get into this. And I got the opportunity to see you speak on Saturday. And it sounds like this is something that's going to be a big central focus, at least for now. I don't know how long things last. You know, campaigns have ebbs and flows, but at least in this campaign, we talked about this some on Friday when you were on the NDAA and your vote for it. You think it was really important that this was something that not only you but the rest of the delegation supported.
Well, I mean, good. What, define good. Do you define good as closing the southern borders? Do you define good as helping the Israelis? Do you define good as making sure our military gets a pay raise? I mean, yes. I mean, it's just good, 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 good. You know, they've got a saying in Washington, you can take a Baptist preacher and put him on the floor, and he can find something wrong with the New Testament. And all he would say would be something as simple as there's not enough Jesus in the New Testament for him. And I believe this NDAA is that way. I think a handful of people have voted against it. They have figured out they voted wrong. Now they're trying to bail themselves out of it. They're using the Ukraine, quote-unquote, Ukraine money for an example. That's been in the bill for 12 or 13 years. And my opponent has voted for it at least once, maybe twice, but I'll just say once to be on the safe side. I know for a fact that money is used for training. It's used for weapons for our National Guard that trains. Again, and I know I said this on your program last week, that's training our troops in Alabama train with Ukraines. That's the reason Ukrainian government, fighting force, was ready and did as good of a job as they did is because our National Guard troops from Alabama train with them every year. And we do that with countries all around the world. That's nothing new. So that money is targeted for that. And this cycle, I think that money is more targeted for buying armor and equipment here in the States. It's all domestic spending. But, you know, there being the rumors out there flying around that the money's going to Ukraine for the Ukraine to build their own border. That is so far from the truth. Laughable. You know, the FISA, for example. Now, my opponent working on that committee to revise the FISA could not put a package together in time for nothing that could get voted on. We have a state trooper pulling up here. This is funny. We're going to have to tell him we're doing a radio spot. Anyway, so the FISA. So we had to do patchwork on that. We had to put a temporary FISA in the NDAA or it would run out. If it ran out, what would it do? It would allow us not, it would stop us from doing any spying offshores in other countries. Now, we've had a problem. Everybody admits that. We've had a problem in this country of that being abused. I will never, ever say that is not true. It's a lot better. It's a lot better, but one is too many. So the FISA patch was put in there because his own committee couldn't come up with a package. So it's just carrying over. And again, that's what I'm saying. It's almost like feeling guilt, and they're trying to get, you know, he's pulling those two things out. It's not enough Jesus in the New Testament for him. You know, the pay raise, 5.2%, that's huge for these young families in the military. This bans the CRT in the military. It guts the DEI in the military. It authorizes over $300 million worth of construction in Alabama on Alabama bases. So that's important stuff, especially when you start looking over at Fort Rucker, the old name, of course, Novacell now. It's $41.2 million in construction of an advanced training facility and family housing. So you know, there's so much good stuff in this that is like everything else we do in Washington. You've got to see how the good outweighs the bad. So the bad, so I'm told, is Ukraine and FISA. I just explained both of those. I can go for an hour and tell you the good things in this. I mean, it's just positive, positive, positive. It reinstates the COVID-19 for the soldiers that refused to take it and got kicked out. It reinstates all of that. And that's something we fought for 3 years. And it's in here, and now my opponent's voting against all of that. Voting against money going to Israel. Voting against the pay raise. So, you know, that's where we're at. I get frustrated when I get talked about it because I can't figure out in my little head why anybody would do that.
Well, let's hone in on the FISA aspect. And I understand that it is kind of tied to the Judiciary Committee. What do you do there? Just separate it from the NDAA in that vote. What do you think needs to be done to kind of reform it? Because would you acknowledge that there have been some abuses in the past?
Oh gosh, it's been horrendous. Now this last year since they've been caught, since the Republicans have taken over the House, and we've turned that rock over. You've seen the numbers, and I don't want to quote numbers here, but it's gone from the hundreds down to the single or double digits. I mean, it's really come down, stuff we can verify. So the Republican Party as a whole has done a great job to shed light on that for the American people. We have to make them accountable. You know, we have to make them accountable for the future. So that's the Judicial Committee that he sits on was to put that together. They put one together, so I'm told. I didn't see either one of them. There was a second one put together by the same committee. We get in committee meetings that they're arguing back and forth. The same committee is arguing over two different packages. So we had to do something. So the NDAA was the best thing to do. We put it's a Band-Aid on it. It carries it through April. April, there has to be a new package put together. So that committee has got till April to finish that, to come up. Sit down, our whole focus now, and telling them in our committee meeting as a complete body, y'all need to, two groups need to come together. You need to put a single bill together, bring it back to us, let us look at it and approve it and vote it down. So there's a plan there, but this is just a Band-Aid. This is nothing long term. This is literally a Band-Aid till April. And for not to support that, I mean, you don't want to support all the intel we've got going on overseas right now. We've got two wars going on over there that we've got eyes on the ground. We've got all these different radical groups that we have to watch. We have to listen to. Now, if we had not patched it again, it would expire at the end of this year. It'd be gone. So we'd have to stop everything we're doing. So it's important we have something in place.
Well, and more broadly speaking on this whole topic, though, if you ever get the opportunity, if Congress has everything that it needs to kind of try to do something to reform the so-called deep state, I mean, do you see that as something, do you hear that much from your constituents or those you are talking to who aren't your constituents yet but will be on the campaign trail? like, how do you fix this problem through the levers of power in, you know, Capitol Hill?
The only way you're going to fix this is leadership. I mean, we've got to have some heads to roll. Everybody talks about it. Everybody's fearful of it. It's bad when you fear your own government more than you do anything else. And on the campaign trail, that's one thing we hear. Now our job in Congress is to fix it. We've got control Republicans have got control. We can't get it through the Senate. Obviously, we can't get the president to sign off on it. That's not an excuse. That's just reality. So we got to work hard to keep the House. We got to work even harder to take the Senate and get us a Republican president in there. That's how you fix it. I mean, Washington was set up with this process. I know people don't like it, especially when you're on the minority side, but it's set up with a process of check and balances. So those three levels of government are three equal levels of government, I might add, that can work together to stop stuff like this, because spying on Americans is unfathomable. I mean, there's no reason why we should be doing that. None. Maybe I need to talk to someone in the intel community, but there's no reason why your conversation or our conversation should be listened to on a phone and our background check based on, being American is our coverage. Now, if we've got out of country players in this country, I beg to differ on that. We've got so many coming across the border right now. We better be doing something. We better be watching these illegals that are coming in. Now, that's the only exception I could possibly dream of. But it's important for us to get in there and cut the head off that snake, and the snake is the leadership, because there's some fine people in the field. You look at our FBI agents, our local, they support our local government, our local law enforcement. I mean, they're constantly doing things for them. The real problem, again, is leadership. You get the leadership in the right place, they can inspire these local groups, these local agencies to do better. But the intel we get from them on statistics and the things they can keep, I mean, their forensic capabilities incredible. We need them. We need them working for us and not against us. So that's going to take all three branches of government to do that, I'm telling you right now.
Do you think going into an election cycle, and I know this might be seem a, I don't know if it's tinfoil hat or not, but that whole deep state and interfering, involving itself in our elections, and what Donald Trump has alleged, is that something you kind of want to be on the watch out for in this next upcoming election cycle?
Without a doubt, yes. Now, what I think there's always been, I mean, you look at Chicago, you look at some of these cities that they've historically always stole votes. I think it's gone to a new level. I mean, obviously, I voted not to accept the electoral votes that came in. I did that for a reason. I got real questions about Pennsylvania, and the Georgia votes were very questionable to me. That's my job. If I question it, stand up for it. And I've taken a lot of heat, a lot of pushback. That's okay. I'm a big boy. I can handle that. But we've got to do, and I think we've done a much, much better job of getting the states more involved in their elections. There are some states that you will not be able to fix. And I, for one, do not want the federal government managing the votes in states, period. The federal government has got an act of messing everything up. You talk about the deep state. I've got a little different view of the deep state probably than most folks, because I have to deal with them. But the bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. are the true deep state to me. Because they can drive things, they can earmark stuff, they can push a particular agenda. Because they're writing the rules and the bills. I mean, they're involved in everything. So the true deep state and who's pulling the strings, they're bureaucrats within Washington. Because we elected officials, we come and we go, and they know that. They're just going to outlive us and stay there much, much longer after we're gone. So they let us. Get just enough strain on us that we feel like we're in control, but we're not. But how do you fix that? Three branches of government. I came up with a simple bill on these committees that committee, you know, some of these folks have been on the committee for 30 years. on these committees. They can do this stuff in their sleep. You don't want to lose that institutional knowledge, by no means, but I think we need to come up with a way of moving these people around, what you refer to as bureaucrats, move them around into different committees so they don't have that power and that influence for 25-plus years in one spot. I think that would help. That would help dilute some of what we have to fight every day in Washington, because people call me and they're upset because, a grant or something. Well, that grant was written by a bureaucrat. They're going to make sure that one city in Minnesota gets it. We don't qualify for it. I mean, it's that simple. So the deep state to me is that. The election side, I think that's more of a state issue. We need to shine some lights on that. We need to start embarrassing some people. I think Georgia's beginning to come to the surface. I think the states need to, we need to maybe come up with a simple guideline that the states would follow. I mean, I don't know why anybody would want voters that didn't want to show an ID. I certainly don't understand an illegal immigrant here voting. And I think that's the latest focus that we're beginning to get a little concerned about. So, yeah, I'm worried about that deep state. Yeah, I'm worried about this election coming up. But in Alabama, and that's all I can speak for, I feel good in Alabama. I truly feel good. I think John Merrill did a good job. I think Wes is going to do a great, great job. We've got true conservatives in positions that are going to make sure it's a fair election.
Congressman, you've been very generous with your time. Before we go, tell folks where they can find out more about your campaign.
Jerry Carl for Congress. Simply go on there, sign up for our newsletter. We'd love to have you on there. We need some door knockers. We need some sign waivers. We need all the free labor we can get right now. We've got about 80 days left in this election, and we're going to drive and work right on through it.
Jerry Carl, ladies and gentlemen. Congressman, have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Jeff. God bless you. Take care.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.